Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today we have an author interview with Rachel Reed. Rachel writes one of my favorite hockey romance series. For this interview, I invited my friend Amanda from Escape in a Book to join me. She is also a Rachel Reed super fan. In this short interview, we chat about Rachel's source of inspiration, her upcoming books, and some fun book recommendations. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. This is my very first podcast.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This is so fun. So much fun. I trust you, it's just a bookish conversation that happens to get recorded. So
cool.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in Nova Scotia, Canada. I've lived here my whole life. I've been kind of tinkering away at writing since I was a kid, and I don't know, it never really occurred to me that I could be a published author, but I took a chance and submitted something and it worked. So that's basically my story.
I love this.
I'm so glad you decided to take a chance. I love your books.
Thank you.
What inspired you to become a writer?
Just reading, you know, other romance novels made me think like, hey, it'd be really fun to write one of these. I think I've thought that for years. And I think what inspired me to write the books I write specifically, it was just like a lifelong love of hockey, but having like a lot of problems with some of the toxic culture around hockey, and wanted to write something to kind of balance that out.
I love this. So what was that journey to get that first book published?
My journey was like a little messy because like I wrote most of Game Changer, and then I just kind of forgot about it for a long time, for a year. And then I went back to it and I didn't know what, like, you know, I was just kind of writing it like I had a really young, I had two young kids, like they were like babies and toddlers at the time. So I was like sitting on their beds waiting for them to fall asleep at night. And I was just writing this like on my iPad in the dark, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I like kind of just like changed some things and then posted on like Archive of Our Own as fanfic, like, like AU fanfic. And then it was pretty well received. And then I was like, I should really not do this. I should keep it original characters and like, you know, try to get it published. So I took it off of AO3 with some warning, and then I like, rewrote large chunks of it and submitted it to some publishers. Mm-hmm. And then I got revise and resubmit letters from two publishers. Mm-hmm. And then I chose kind of the wrong publisher because it ended up being one that I had to like leave. Like,
oh no,
so a bunch of people left in a hurry. And so then Karina fortunately was happy to still publish my book. So it all ended up great in the end, but I did not do anything right, and nobody should learn from me at all.
Oh no. That's fantastic. So were you always wanted to write hockey, or do you want to write something, like you had other ideas?
I do have other ideas. It's like I've wanted to be specifically just a hockey writer since I was a kid. Like that was my dream job, was to write about hockey. So I guess I'm kind of doing it.
Yeah.
But I do have lots of ideas for non-hockey. I think I'm starting to get a little tired of writing about like millionaires with like perfect bodies. Like I'd like to write about something else. So yeah, I do have some other ideas, and but hockey is fun to write about. I guess it's like write what you know. So Mm-hmm. Makes it a little easier for me. I don't have to do as much research as if I was writing something else, probably.
When you are creating your stories, what does your writing process look like?
Well, mine's like, again, nobody should learn from me on this at all, because mine is really like, I have a rough idea. And then usually the first thing I do is just kind of start writing random scenes, just kind of like getting to know the characters. Like, I need to like, I mean, it sounds really cheesy, but I need to like meet the characters before I can write a story about them. So like, I'll just write these scenes where they're interacting. And then when I get a feel for what they're like, I'll kind of start to write scenes that are actually in order. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the first thing I wrote in a book ends up like Heated Rivalry, the prologue was the first thing that I wrote in that book. So that did end up being the first thing. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, it's not. But yeah, that's usually, I'm not a plotter. I'm trying to be. This book I'm writing now, I'm trying to plot it first, but I really go into it like I just have these characters in my head and I'll figure out the story later. Like, they tell me the story as it goes. And yeah, I'll have big ideas and then I'll just be like, oh, well, this doesn't work at all. So I end up not doing it or cutting, you know, huge right. chunks. I have to rewrite my synopsis like so many times. I'm really bad at following it.
So how do you get back with the characters? Like, do they come to you as you write them, or do you do some preliminary work just trying to figure out like this character's issues may come from this scene, and you just realize, okay, like this is how the character shaping up to be?
Yeah, I kind of like will brainstorm a bunch too, like just sort of make like a bullet point list of for each major character. Like, I'll just like, okay, here's like a bunch of things about this guy and a bunch of things about this guy. And then I start going through some of the secondary characters too to try to shape them out. And then, but I don't really write like a full character profile or any of the stuff you're supposed to do that probably makes things a lot easier. but yeah, usually for me, the characters are the strong thing starting, and the story is the thing that like comes later. So okay. I'm definitely a character driven writer.
Okay. And so what is the source of inspiration for the Game Changer series? It's Mau-Mau Hockey Romans, and you're breaking barriers. But was there a source of inspiration looking at hockey romans from a male perspective, as opposed to just a real male female, you know, what we see normally see in the genre?
Yeah, I think like definitely when I was like a kid and really into hockey, there was like a CBC radio show about sports called The Inside Track, and they had this episode that was like about closeted athletes in Canada, and they were all like, they had their voices, you know, manipulated, so you can like, it was all anonymous. Mm-hmm. Men talking about their experiences of trying to keep their sexuality hidden as they competed. So there was like lots of kind of, you know, there were lots of rumors like, who are these athletes? But at the time I was just kind of fascinated because it wasn't something that was ever talked about. And I was a huge mm-hmm. hockey fan, but I was like, God, it would be so hard if you were a gay hockey player, because the culture of it is, especially yeah. in the '90s when this was so homophobic that I was, it just kind of stayed with me. That particular episode of that radio show stayed with me for a long time. None of those athletes ended up being hockey players because they all came out later, but it still just kind of stayed with me, and it's something that the NHL will address from time to time and say mm-hmm. like, you know, it's, they have conflicting stories, like, oh, there are gay hockey players and their teammates know and their families know and their friends know, but they're just not like publicly out. And then there's other people say like there are none because the culture is so homophobic that most of them would like quit when they were teenagers because it's too hard. So right. I don't know, you know, who's to say what's true, because you think like statistically they can't all be straight.
Yeah.
But
that's so
just
true.
Something that's on my mind all the time, you know, as a hockey fan, just thinking about, there's like really, especially in Canada, it's like, this is what hockey players are. Like, there's a certain mm-hmm. way to be a hockey player. And yeah, I just kind of wanted to, I don't know, maybe tell a different side.
I love that. And that's so true when you look at across all the professional sports. I mean, as you said, statistically, all of these, you know, male-driven sports, but no one is out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that I so appreciate about your books is that it is telling a different side and a more human and real side to these athletes.
Yeah, thanks. That's what I was aiming for sure.
Yeah. One of the things that I so love, like, about Heated Rivalry is that the way that the story plays out, I mean, you basically took, like, the formula for a romance novel and you, like, tore that up and threw it out the window. So going into writing that book, were you at any point unsure of how the story would be received? I mean, it's enemies to lovers, which is so good, but the way that the relationship develops and plays out is so unlike what we typically see within that trope or the romance genre in general.
Yeah, the whole time I was writing it, I was like, this book is for me only. It is not something that, because I kind of like, when I first sent it to my publisher, I was like, there's no way they're going to go for this, or like, they're not going to go for it the way it is. Because it really was like, yeah, like it's not quite enemies to lovers. It doesn't really follow the structure of right? Like, it doesn't have the same beats as a regular romance, and it has the time jumps, which are very unpopular. Yeah. And you know, and I don't even like time jumps. I don't know what I was doing, but I definitely thought like, yeah, there's no way they're going for it. And it was so different from Game Changer, which I think is a very straightforward, you know, formulaic romance, like contemporary romance, and it kind of hits all the beats that most people are looking for. But I think Heated Rivalry is a weird one, but I was surprised that you know they wanted it. So when I was still writing it, I knew it was going to be published, which I was surprised enough about. But then I was writing it, I was like, people are going to hate this. Like, I really thought, I was like, there's too many sex scenes. There's no, the time jumps are going to make people angry. I was like, it spans too long a time period. It does not have a definitive happy. It doesn't have the happy ending that like a lot of people are looking for.
Right. It's
more
very
of
open.
A happy for now and very open. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Things could take a really dark turn for them or be great. You don't really know, but, yeah, I mean, I'm glad. And also it's a very character based story. There's not like a lot of plot beyond their relationship going over this huge time period. So, but yeah, I was aware of it being weird, and I'm really glad that people liked it, because I liked it. Like, I don't know. I was like, I would like this book, even though it is weird.
It is some kind of special magic. I love that book.
Me too.
Thanks. They're just really fun to write, those guys. I really do. I find it so much easier writing them than any other characters.
They're great characters. When you were crafting them, for example, like Ilya coming from Russia, a country that is not open and welcoming to different sexualities.
Yeah.
Was his character difficult to create with like remaining true to the culture he was raised in, but like making him, I don't know how to word it, making him just like the fun, lovable little bit of an asshole that he is?
Yeah, I think I was really conscious. I mean, first of all, I was really conscious of like, there's a lot of Russian characters in romance. It's a popular sort of, I don't know, I don't want to call it a trope, but it's sort of a trope. Right. So I wanted to like make sure, I mean, I haven't personally been to Russia, so like I'm trying to write him in a way that's, you know, not entirely based on stereotype, because Russians are probably more stereotyped than any other, like,
right.
I would say they're up there for Europeans being stereotyped, because they're in so many movies, mostly as villains.
Yeah.
Or like very serious characters. So I guess I just wanted to like be sensitive to like not have him sound like a kind of a Russian mafia like television character, but also Yeah, I wanted to kind of get into the politics of Russia and what's, you know, what would be hard about being bisexual and being from Russia, but I didn't want to get like too deep into it because I did do a bunch of research when I was writing the book, but it was just so heavy that I was like, maybe I just will kind of like, I mean, everybody kind of knows about it. So I'm not going to like get too deep into it, but it's something that, you know, he's aware of and it's impacted his life, but he's trying to like not let it impact his life too much, I guess.
So when you are creating your characters, are there certain things going into the book, like certain themes that you know that you want to include, or did they become more fleshed out as you're writing? Like, for example, in Heated Rivalry, we see mental health and suicide, and in Tough Guy, Ryan Price's character with panic attacks and anxiety, and the way that those things impact his sexual relationships. I so love the representation of those things in romance. I feel like so many people love the romance genre and like the lighter fluffy side of it, that I really love when like real true issues are brought into those relationships.
Yeah, I do too. And I try to, you know, again, you want to be, you know, you want to portray it in a way that's sensitive and, you know, educated. And but yeah, and my books are fairly low angst, so I don't like to like have, you know, go too heavy on it. But I mean, I think the theme running through Game Changers is definitely toxic masculinity and how it impacts these hockey players who are dealing not only with, you know, being most of them are closeted or figuring out their sexuality, but also, you know, having mental health issues, fears and anxieties. And I think like, cause hockey culture is so conservative that there's like all this pressure to conform and to not talk about your problems, leaving things at the door of the locker room and not acknowledge your mental or emotional health issues that you might be having. And like even just speaking up for yourself or calling out your teammates or coach for like abusive behavior is like almost unheard of. So I just wanted to make sure all of that is kind of like represented. Like these books are sort of like my idea if like if things could be better in the NHL, this is what it might be like. But yeah, I think, there's definitely things that I want to represent, but I'm also like, I don't want to represent anything that I think I won't do a good job of, or that I think isn't my place to write it.
So also, this is a very important question. Since you write hockey romance, and clearly you're a hockey fan, who is your team?
Montreal, because it just has been since I was a little kid. Geographically, I mean, it's pretty close to me, but like I'm in Nova Scotia, so it's really wide open. I could pick anyone. I'm a big Montreal fan, for better or for worse.
I love it.
So let's pour your sex scenes, because they're really steamy. What is your writing process like?
Well, I really like writing the sex scenes. For me, it's probably often my favorite part, but they are something that, you know, like any other scene, I write them and then do a bunch of passes to make them better. And usually for me, what the better is they are pretty mechanical starting out, and then I have to like add a little more emotion, more internal thoughts, you know, stuff like that. Just, I don't really plan them out. I might have an idea of like, you know, like I try to get some plot into the sex scenes. My mom complained that she couldn't just skip them because important stuff was happening in them. And I was like, yeah, you gotta read them.
That's hilarious.
But I try to get something important happening in each one, so it's not just like a roadblock, you know, sex scene. Because obviously, especially the first two books had a lot of sex scenes, so I wanted to like, make sure that there was something in them besides just, you know, just a sex scene, but
right.
Yeah, I think it's, to me, it's like an important part of the story in this genre. If your book is going to have sex scenes in them, then they should contribute to the story, probably. And I try to make, I mean, I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, what, like, I don't know what else new to write in them, but, yeah, it's been a bit of a challenge lately to come up with new ideas for them, but see what I can come up with for this next book.
Can you talk to us about Common Goal? What can we expect for readers now that we've read the past three books? Like, what should we expect for the fourth book?
So the fourth one goes back to the first, like the characters of the first book. It's not, they're not the main characters of this yeah. book, but it is like a secondary character from yeah. Game Changer. It's Eric Bennett, who is the goalie mm-hmm. of the New York Admirals, which is the Rangers with a different name. So I had to change all the names in a hurry, so they're not very good. Yeah, so Eric Bennett is recently divorced. He's just turned 41. He's about to retire. And he's also has known he's bisexual his whole life, but he's never really explored it. And now he's thinking maybe he might like to. And there's like Kyle Swift, who's also in Game Changer. Is like, he's like a bartender. He's a pretty minor character in Game Changer, but yeah, that's the other love interest. So this is the first book where like both of the main characters have previously appeared. And so I tried to make it so it's like, I think people who like Game Changer will like it, but I tried to make it very different from Game Changer too, because I was aware as I was writing it, I was like, because Kip in the first book makes smoothies for an NHL player, and he's like a student, and he's not like, he wants to go back to school, and he's like, he studies history, and he's like not rich. And then I was like, well, Kyle's kind of exactly the same, except a bartender. So I was like, this is the same book. And so I was like, I had to change stuff and think about how to make it different. And yeah, I think it is a very different book, but I think it's just kind of really light and I hope sexy and funny. Like Tough Guy was probably a little bit heavier than the other ones, so I wanted this one to be lighter. And yeah, I think it's like it's a low angst little summer read, I would say, although it comes out in late September, so it's really actually it comes out in like the first day of fall, but still it's a
So we know that you have Common Goal coming up in September, and I tend to stalk you on your website and all of your social media, so I know that there is a Heated Rivalry sequel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Please. Yeah, so that finally got announced. I'm so glad, because like I really wanted to like say something official about it, but I was just kind of waiting for things to be official. But yeah, I'd always hoped to write a sequel to Heated Rivalry, because I also wanted to see more of their story. So I'm really glad I'm going to have the opportunity to do it as a full-length novel, and it will be part of the same series with Karina, so that's great. And that's going to be book six in the series, probably the last book, because the way it's kind of working is like Common Goal is a sort of sequel to Game Changer. The one I'm writing right now, Role Model, is sort of a sequel to Tough Guy. And then this, The Long Game, is the sequel to Heated Rivalry. That's going to be like a full-on sequel. And that, to me, kind of like wraps things up on this series. But who knows? But yeah, I think, so The Long Game is going to be, I mean, if it turns out the way that I'm planning it, it's going to be a similar structure to Heated Rivalry, but over a shorter period of time. So I want to cover all of the years that the other books after Heated Rivalry have taken place over. So it's going to be kind of like going back in time, but then also bringing you up to the present. and the future. So there's a few key moments that happen during the timeline of the other books that I want to include in this book. So yeah, I think it'll be fun, and I think they'll get the big happy ending that people want them to have.
I love that. And then I don't know how much you're allowed to tell us, but you mentioned that the fifth book is Role Model. Are those characters that we have seen already, or are these new characters to the series?
Yeah, so Role Model is a character that we've seen already. He was introduced in Tough Guy, and his name is Troy Barrett. He is like the friend, I guess, of the villain of the series, who's named Dallas Kent. I've seen people ask if like Dallas Kent is going to get a book, and I'm like, no, this guy is irredeemable. He's the villain.
I'm trying to remember, is Troy Barrett in Common Goal?
Yes, he is. Okay. I gave him a little part just so people would remember who he is. Yeah, he's like not well liked by a lot of players because he hangs out with this guy that everybody hates.
So yeah, but there was like enough of him there that I was like, I feel like this guy needs a book. Oh, I'm so
yeah,
excited.
That was the point of him being there, so I'm glad. So he's going to be traded to Ottawa, which is Ilya Rozanov's team.
Oh,
and
I
also Wyatt Hayes from Tough Guy, the goalie who gets traded, he's also there. So there's going to be like a few characters that we've seen before on the same team. And it's called Role Model because he's trying to be a better person, but also his life is falling apart in the background and he can't talk about it to anyone. Mm-hmm. Publicly, he called out Dallas Kent for like something terrible that he did during a practice, and then and so everything kind of spins out of that, so he gets traded to another team, and then he he's been secretly dating an actor for like the last couple of years, and that relationship ends, and this is all at the very beginning of the book, so it's not really spoilers. It's like this is how his whole life is just like terrible. His dad is terrible and recently remarried a much younger woman and like broke his mom's heart. He's just like dealing with all sorts of stuff. So it's definitely making him seem like he's awful, but like he's also the saddest boy. Like, you know, it's like that kind of trope. So, and it's the team's social media manager that is total sweetheart. He's like, you know, just a really nice guy, really friendly and cheerful, and so that's the pairing.
I can't wait for it. Do you have projects already kind of mapped out for when you're done with the Game Changer series, or are you not there yet?
I don't. I'm contracted for one more book with Karina, but it's kind of a TBA. I do have some ideas, so I'm probably once I've finished writing Role Model, I'll probably send them some ideas. Mm-hmm. And see what everybody likes the most. But yeah, no, I haven't really been thinking beyond the series because I'm a pretty slow writer. Like one to two books a year is definitely my maximum. So, cause it's not my full-time job. So I'd like to, I don't know, I'm in awe of people who can write faster than this, but I really can't.
That's awesome. I'm so looking forward for both books and whatever you write. Like, you can write the phone book and I'll probably buy it and love it and give it
to me too. Like, I'm in line to be the hype girl for whatever comes out next.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So,
awesome. Oh, that's nice. Thanks.
So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. It's an opportunity to share with our audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
My favorite genre is probably historical queer romance. I find like that's like, if there's a book that comes out in that genre, I'm almost definitely going to read it. There aren't that many, but like there's a decent amount, but like it's not that hard to read almost all of them either. So
you have them, so we can actually add them to our TBR.
Like some of my favorites?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big Kat Sebastian fan. I love all of her books. The one that came out this year was adorable. The Two Rogues Make a Right. I love K.J. Charles. I love, actually, I was going to say the book, my favorite book of the year so far is one that I don't think has gotten talked about a ton, but it's called The Last Kiss by Sally Malcolm. And it's set during and just after World War I in England. And it's really, really like, it's just so well written, so well researched, and like so emotional and romantic, and like, you know, it's a bit of a tearjerker. It's just like really, really good. And the couple really like just stayed with me for a long time after I read it. I love them. So, but yeah, I'm excited seeing like more I like historical romance in general that's set during times other than Regency and Victorian. I like those too.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to see some different stuff. And definitely like the 1920s and like just before that are like, that's an era I really like reading books set during.
I feel it. Yeah, I love Gilded Age. For me.
Oh, like, and I love like Ali Terran's Magic in Manhattan series, like Spellbound, and what do you call it when there's magic? Paranormal? No, that's not right. Yeah. Fantasy?
Yeah.
Fantasy? I go fantasy. Yeah, so it's like historical fantasy. Yeah, that's the genre. But yeah, set in the 20s New York, it's great.
Ooh, that sounds amazing. So tell us where you can find you online, Rachel.
Oh, I'm on Twitter as AKA Rachel Reed. I'm on Instagram as Rachel Reed Writes. I probably should have made those the same. And then my website is rachelreedwrites.com.
Thank you, Rachel, for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Amanda, for doing the interview with me.
Thank you for including me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.